Banta with Tony and Mimi, a cross-generational conversation between a millennial.
This year, 2024, I'm going to be giving you gems. I pray for you to have discernment for double alignment. Hey! Whoa. You didn't see that coming.
And a Gen Zer.
I searched it up on Spotify. It's right there.
For free. I'm listening to it.
Yes, I am reading the book. Don't play with me.
Mm-hmm. Kick back and enjoy as we laugh, feel, and heal.
Welcome to another episode of Banta with Tony and
Mimi. Hello, guys.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Yes, yes, yes. Today is Wednesday.
Everybody.
Well, we're recording this on a Wednesday in January.
No, today's Tuesday.
Oh, my computer lied to me.
Well, very much so. She's
if I depend on Apple to tell me the truth.
She's too excited for 2024.
Yeah, today's Tuesday. And our second episode premiered today. So if you want to gauge like how far ahead we record these episodes.
Like, we're in season two and season one is just
Don't take it that far. We're not in season two.
Oh, what are
you saying? We're in season two of the recordings?
Yeah.
Girl, it's 20 episodes per season.
Right. Okay.
So how are we in season two, man?
We're in season one extended deluxe edition.
Oh, Lord.
We're in the diamond edition of season.
Not the
one.
Diamond. Praise God. We'll get there.
Well, yes.
In Jesus' name, we will be diamond, platinum, all the numbs. Diamond, platinum, titanium.
Okay.
Yes.
How have you been?
I've been good. You know, easing my way into the new year. So, of course, we had the premiere of our podcast. But, you know, outside of the podcast, life is also happening. So, trying to ease my way back in school. So, juggling that, motherhood, being a nurse, podcasts, being everything else. So, it's been good. And I had a therapy session yesterday. So, that helped. Because it's always good to talk once a week to somebody that's not related to me.
Mine is on Thursday. You're lucky. I didn't talk to mine last week. She was off, but...
Yeah, mine was off for a week, too.
Yeah.
I think it's so important for caregivers of any kind to always know when to take breaks, too.
Right.
You can't be on 24/7. And it's also about establishing boundaries. Like, okay, you're not going to call me at this time with any of your foolishness.
Like, I don't have time for the BS today.
Yeah, you're going to have to figure it out.
I don't care, but it's just like, it's my time today.
Mm-hmm. You're just going to have to carry on.
You're just going to have to take the tips I done gave you. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm in these sessions.
And utilize it properly. Oh my gosh, yes. Pop culture. I feel like 500 million things have happened. Like,
I have my pop culture.
I was trying to figure out what to talk about, and like, there are three things I want to talk about. Oh my goodness.
You want to think? Or you want to?
I know the things, but it's like trying to figure out which one. So maybe I'll touch on every single one, but just not spend too much time.
Okay.
What is yours?
Mine. Hallie was pregnant all along.
We already said it like two episodes ago.
No, we didn't.
You cannot fool a pregnant woman. I've been pregnant before, so I knew she was pregnant. But then I'm like, okay, she wants to hide it. Remember last episode when I was like, oh, is she still pregnant? When you said you liked her outfit, I was like, she's still pregnant?
Oh, no, yes. No, we talked about that outside of the podcast, did we not?
Mm-hmm. Because we saw the picture of her coming from the clinic. She was pregnant then. Mm-hmm. You could tell in her face, like, the good thing is, like, maybe she's been exercising her entire pregnancy, but, like, she didn't really seem like she even gained too much, right? Because you could tell the fullness of the face anytime somebody's pregnant.
Yeah.
But she did a good job hiding it for the most part.
But that's not why I wanted to... Okay, so basically, she was pregnant all along. I knew it, I told y'all.
So that's what your pop culture moment
No, was? It's not my... not what the moment is. So basically, I actually, like, wrote it down for once. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but basically... She was pregnant all along. I kind of suspected. I did believe that she was pregnant, but it was not until she said it or until they said something that it was like, okay, y'all, like, I don't know why we're wasting or stressing this much about Hallie being pregnant. Like, you are not Hallie. So basically what I wanted to talk about was the reaction to everyone finding, not everyone, but half of the internet.
Did they have bad reactions?
Yes. And the bad reactions
came
from...
Did they not know she was pregnant this whole time?
No.
Have they been living under a rock?
No, because... No, they're not living under a rock. Let me paint the picture for you.
Okay,
so basically, I'm excited for Halo being out into the world, her little baby. So I want to say congratulations to Hallie and DDG for their baby. So basically, that's where like the bad reactions came from the half of the internet that didn't support Hallie and DDG from the beginning in the first place. People who were tuned in towards the beginning of their relationship would know how, like, the half of the internet that didn't support it was appalled by her even coming out into relationship one, for everyone being shocked that she was in a relationship. And I feel like it was kind of tied to, like, the innocence factor that was placed onto her after like her and her sister, first of all, they didn't go their separate ways, but it's like obviously Chloe did her solo music.
Different paths.
Right. And they careers. Do different paths. Yes. But then I feel like because Chloe like expressed a lot of her like sensuality as a woman. So then like the opposite that Hailey got was that she was the like innocent. So when it came out that she was in a relationship, it was like, okay, everyone was shocked trying to adjust to that. Why? I don't know. Like she is a grown woman. And then two, the other half.
Can I rebuttal as we're going? Yes. So I don't forget. I can't speak for everybody else, but the thing for me with Chloe, I am all about a woman owning her sexuality, sensuality, all of that, because it's your prerogative. It's your right. Mm-hmm. However, it seemed manufactured. It seemed forced. So anytime I'll watch her stuff, I don't really feel like that's her. Like it was just too much. Like, I guess maybe I'm just old school. I come from that place of like, you can still be sexy. You can still do those things, but like tastefully done. And just, I don't know, when you look at her, I just never felt like she was being authentically herself or that she was comfortable in her skin. So that's what I have a piece with that.
Yeah.
With Hailey. I think it's this idea like in America where she played the Little Mermaid. So you have, whether or not she likes it, she has young girls now that, you know, are looking up to her. Just the other day, we watched the video of Issa Rae talking to those young girls at the Golden Globes, right? So you know your demographic, you know who you're with. So I think for some people it's that idea like, this is a girl that's played the Little Mermaid. Yeah, that's been part of her image. And again, it's an image that somebody uses out there to make money. It doesn't always reflect who the person is. But then knowing her brand, and maybe that's why she was very cautious with not like necessarily like showing it the whole time, because she knew that people would be so divided. Exactly.
But then I feel like that was also a thing though. But even before like it was unveiled that she was Little Mermaid, even though it was like what, years before, a year or something before the movie even came out. But like, Chloe and Hailey fans, I feel like the ones who, first of all, were kind of like taking it bittersweet that they even were not making music together as at this moment right now. They didn't take that information well. And then I feel like when Chloe started to express her unapologetic sensual nature, I guess it was like, okay, so then the opposite end of that was going to be placed onto Hailey. But then like, obviously she was in a Disney contract, y'all. She was not going to be doing a lot of stuff that her sister was doing. But then even if she did, it was like, like you said, things could be manufactured.
And like it always is. I think we always forget that. Like, that's part of media. So when they selected her, they knew what her brand represented and how that will align with the Little Mermaid. So for her to now be pregnant or whatever, some people will feel like it doesn't align. But that's the thing. Like, when Cardi B was like at the height of her popularity, she got pregnant with her kids. Kiki Palmer, now she just won, I think, an Emmy just the other night, and she has a baby.
Congrats,
it might have been true back in the day, but now having a baby does not mean that your career ends. Like, it's all about what you do with it. But I think that part that people are upset about is the idea like, they're young girls, like, you're the first Black Little Mermaid, so you have young girls looking at you, and you know, some people are like, yeah, the traditional way of doing things and going about it, she didn't necessarily follow that path. And you know, that's for her to decide. It's a tough place to be in, because she's created her image, that's one way, and clearly what she chooses for her life sometimes might contradict with that image. But I appreciate the fact that she's sensitive to that, and when she decided, okay, I'm gonna show my baby, she didn't do it in a way that was like, well, look now, whatever you care, you know, you have those celebrities that are like, I'm not nobody's role model, I don't care about that, raise your kids yourself, you're collecting the coins when they go watch your movies, aren't you? So be aware of your audience. Like, I feel like that stuff is always so disrespectful. Like, I'm not raising your kids. Your kids, you are making music that caters to them. You do content that caters to them. So yes, you are having impact on people's children. Be cognizant of it and hold yourself accountable in some way. Nobody's saying don't be yourself, but be respectful to the people that are putting food on your table. That kind of thing.
Okay, she just just let it all out, period. Okay, but basically, okay, so the other part of it was the fact that she was in the relationship with DDG in the first place.
Why do people care?
That's what I was going to say. Basically, that's the whole basis of my opinion.
You are seeing these people for a small fraction of their life online. Right. You don't know what they are like with each other, how they interact with each other. And again, everybody has their journey. That's why, even in life, you might have like somebody like a Hailey that you think is the quiet one, and that person is going to do X, Y, and Z, and then you have the other sister that you think it's wild and out there, and then that one ends up being the one pregnant, but it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter.
Her journey.
And basically, I saw a tweet that was like, why y'all literally like writing long, negative, hateful paragraphs towards this girl for one hiding her pregnancy? What I have to say is we do not know these people, nor are they like taking up fractions of our lives. And they don't think about us on a daily basis. They're just public figures or celebrities. And it's like, why should we care so much to the fact that her hiding her pregnancy make you mad and then going to like spew whatever you have to spew and then like spending all of your day hating her boyfriend or her
It's the
whatever.
Power, like the I'm power like, dang, that we give because of the packaging, because of how everything is done. Just like with Keke Palmer. Like, I'm happy for her. She won the Emmy. But I'm like, in 2024, I don't really want to be celebrating the first black woman to do X, Y, and Z. I just want to be celebrating that a black woman won this.
Yeah.
Like, that because is embarrassing.
I'm about
honest.
To say the first black woman.
Like, in 2024, we're still doing the first black woman to do this. First black woman.
24 years. Like, wow. And then so it's
Game
like,
show, I think. Oh, I have not even watched
Oh, yeah, it was Game Show. I don't even know what I think it was Password. Was, yeah. But yeah, I think we should celebrate the fact that Keke won, not
Exactly.
Keke
Let's stop doing this first black woman's. Because it's embarrassing. It's like and people I guess, throw you a bone and you're just happy just to get a little something. So first black woman to get, and then we use it like, no, let's not be impressed by that stuff anymore. Let's change in this 2024. Give her her flowers. Say she did great. I'm happy for you. You won the Emmy. But no, we're not going to be here upholding the systems that oppress us and say, oh, first black woman to do this. Like, why are we celebrating that in 2024? We should have been past this by now. And so we have to hold ourselves accountable in how we are complicit in our own suffrage.
Yeah, because yes, it is a title that she is the first black woman to do, but I don't think it should be celebrated exactly. over the fact that she did win. Mm-hmm. And she's
we're still
going
to give her kudos. Yeah.
Yeah. Because if anything, that's backhanded, y'all.
But I do what remember seeing first? Some of the comments, though, about Haley's boyfriend. Like when people play on her, on his name, like they would call
they
him
troll
DD.
Him.
ADD.
ADD.
She mentioned ABC, ADD. BCD.
He a Z-list celebrity.
EFG.
Right, because that's what I was saying. It was like all those people, because yes, it was a joke too, first of all, because I think it was because,
some of it is funny.
Yeah, it is funny because DDG's is like a, I guess
I can't even say his name without
a
tongue tied. DDG,
but I think his real name is Daryl.
Okay, we're going to need Daryl to start saying Daryl.
Like he did YouTube and then he like did music and then so I don't know.
And like people don't realize with Young Love, the more you are telling this girl, don't be with him, the more you guys are putting pressure and doing that. It's that idea like people don't want our love to survive. They just hate us, so we're just gonna keep fighting some more for our love.
But
so
yeah, that is
you're gonna
true.
Continue to see them together because yeah, she doesn't want to hear that, so just let the
I don't
girl
think
be
she cares about
let
that.
Her live if her anything, life
yeah
make her choices
yeah
live with her choices. At the end of the day, even the little baby she just had now is already ahead in some ways than other people should. I'm just saying, some of the people that are in the comments, that baby is gonna already have a better life than you. I'm sure Oprah has given him a $1 million crib.
Like, come on, Beyonce done contributed to that.
Beyonce has given him exactly diamond encrusted bathtub, and you are here commenting on it. You, I beg.
He has a bedazzled pacifier in his mouth with Swarovski crystals and
like what? She's not living a regular girl's life. Yes, a regular girl probably her age getting pregnant. That's like a different story, but people always forget these people in Hollywood are living different lives. So even though she's young, she is a young millionaire. She has a means to provide for her child. So if her and DDG are in a loving relationship and they can learn together how to parent this child and they have a good support system in her family and his family, let these people live their life and mind your business.
Mind the business.
Like Tabitha Brown always said, mind. Because that's my business. Mind your business.
Well, yeah.
So that's your thing. All right. So mine, it kind of ties in line like with, I guess, the Keke story of what we were saying about, you know, we're tired of celebrating the first black woman and things and this and that. So this week, Harvard president Claudine Gay stepped down from her position as being the first, again, black female president of Harvard University. Mm-hmm. She was only on the position for about 6 months.
What?
Mm-hmm.
So she stepped down?
She stepped down because there's a lot of stuff that was going on. Yeah, she had a hearing. It was her and two other presidents of two other like famous universities. I want to say Penn State was one of them, but don't quote me on that. Mm. And they asked them questions about, you know, having hate crimes on their campuses. And the way they answered it, people were not happy with it. So I think every single one of them that were there have stepped down or in some capacity quit their jobs because of how they answered it. Because I think she said it depends on the circumstances, and what people are looking for is the plain black and white. No, we will not tolerate it. Yeah, exactly. So that one, I totally, I don't even know why, you know, because maybe Harvard doesn't have a very clear policy on that stuff. But the funny thing is, even after that hearing, Harvard did like support her. They said they supported her because, again, maybe she only echoed what their policy states, which is that it might be circumstantial, like they have to look at the whole situation or something. So apparently there's this right wing activist that then made it his mission. So the way they got her out of the position was obviously Harvard stood behind her, so they couldn't do it that way. So then they started digging through this woman's academic work, and they now accused her of plagiarism. I know, right? It could be a movie, TV show.
No, because I'm watching Scandal and this sounds like Olivia Pope work.
I know. Where's Olivia when we need her? Okay.
Okay.
So they accused her of plagiarism, and that's the tool that they used to finally get her to step down because they were accusing her. She had to go back and make a few corrections to her work. So one, I want to commend Harvard for standing by her in that way, because even when the plagiarism stuff came up, they said, okay, yeah, she made a few mistakes here and there. They still stuck by her. But obviously behind the scenes, they're probably like, okay, this is getting to be too much, because I'm sure week after week, it's like one thing or the other. So she finally had to step down. So I do commend them, one, for appointing her, but two, it seems like, at least from the public standpoint, only she can speak if they truly had her back. It seemed like they had her back. Mm. Now, looking at the comments, what I just could not understand was people not understanding that this thing about the plagiarism was a tool that was used to do something that's systemically racist in this country.
Get her,
Get
her to step down.
To
get off of her.
Because of what she represented, being, you know, the woman of color that she has been in the position that she was at. So it's like, I just could not understand it, because everybody's, plagiarism is plagiarism. That is not the issue here. The issue here is that they had a problem with the answer she gave, who she is, what she represents, and then they now look for a tool or any means necessary to accomplish that which they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. That's the issue here. I mean, come on.
Yeah, because they couldn't do it through the school, because the school stood by her.
Yeah. And so anything, they went, look, because... Yeah. That's the thing about academia. Like, I never truly understood. Like, I could be here and I'd be like, the sky is blue. But in academia, you have to give credit to the first person that ever wrote it in a book and said the sky is blue. It's like, you cannot have any thought of your own. Nothing can be your own. You always have to give credit. Yeah. So there's always room that something is going to fall through the cracks. Like, these very same people that are coming after her, if they have ever published anything, can they stand that there's not any little hole in there in their work that... Somebody might be like, okay, maybe you should credit a little bit more over here or do this. Like,
yeah, that's true. And
it's
then,
just
like,
unfair.
The bad end of the stick if you like genuinely forget or don't know the first person who said that, you know, the sky was blue. And it's like, to the fact that now she has to step down from her position.
Yes. And it's hard work. Like, this woman, when
she's
read her...
She's only been there for 6 months.
But like, she's been like the head of a department. She's had other accomplishments that it's like now they want to just erase and take away. So my final comment on this is, I hope maybe she will find her way to like a black institution. But what I ask of her, and I'm over here talking like my little podcast will get to her, but you never know. You put things out in the world and it might, you know, our little podcast might get to her. But my advice to her, Miss Claudine Gay, this is what I'll have to say to you. If you do find yourself in black institutions, I need you to do some inner searching, inner work as to what it has meant for you to excel in those white spaces and how you yourself might have some like implicit biases, and make sure that you don't take that with you when you enter into the black spaces. Mm. Because for you to have excelled in the way that you did in those spaces mean that there has to be some things with how you exist that align, right?
With
that world. And sometimes it's like people that come from, you know, the PWIs, and then now you enter into like the predominantly black spaces, you don't change your mindset. You don't change how you approach things. And then next thing you know, you are being just as detrimental as the white person is,
right? Like there, an ego can build.
Yeah.
Right? Like the mindset or belief that I was in this space and you weren't.
Yes.
Or everything like, that she had to do to get in that space is now going to follow her, because if anything, if it made it through the cracks of her mind, then it doesn't necessarily have to be solidified, but it exists in her brain subconsciously or not. Mm-hmm. So I feel like she has to like gain awareness. I think what you're trying to say is her gaining awareness. Of that. And then making sure to not bring it to
that's
poison.
If she chooses to go to a black institution. She might continue to do her PWI institutions and find another one to exist in.
Yeah, I'm about to say, because...
But I'm just saying, if she wants to transition after this and be like, I need to go to a black institution, I need to see, like, I need the mindset shift to happen, because we have to address that too. Sometimes how our own people that look like us, whether intentional or not, like with the Dr. Jackie thing last week, are part of the systems, are part of the problem. And especially when you have excelled in the world that has, you know, given given you accolades and given you rewards for being part of that system, you don't just switch over and then you carry on that same thing, because guess
and
what?
Go live as.
That's problematic. So I don't know her personally, but that's just my little take on it. I hope, you know, things work out for her like they always do. When people come out after you like that viciously and, you know, just to remove butter from your bread, God will always look out for you. They will not remove the butter from your bread, Claudine Gay. You will get more bread, more butter. You will get jam. What else would you want in that? You will have cookie butter. Everything you want will enter. God will bless you more than what you just lost. Right now, you are in a moment of losing. But when you look back at the end of this year, next year, next 5 years, you're going to be in a place that's so much better. Like, you don't. So I hope she has good support around her and she's going to make it through. Yes.
That was a good pop culture segment.
Yes. I guess my other pop culture things, I'll have to leave them for next week and the week after that.
Because it's always.
We always spend 500 hours
on the pop culture part.
We just like have the episode on pop culture.
That's our thing. That's a little cute little thing.
I know.
So now for today's topic.
What are we talking about today, Mariama?
Today we're talking about, and I feel like, you know, this is a really good topic. I feel like I'm really excited. Okay. Today we're talking about mind, body, and soul maintenance. Well, yes, basically just, you know, our overall well-being and self-care. And I feel like this is kind of my pocket.
Yeah, our bohemian princess. Oh, this is right up her alley. Why does Mimi hate it so much when I say that she's a boho queen? Boho girls are so, like, they're awesome. They're cool. They're like my second spirit animal, probably. Like, there's a part of me that probably wants to be a boho girl. But I just know, like, I don't quite have it. Just to be, like, just free in this world and just...
I just try my best. Okay, I don't hate when you say it. It's just that genuinely, like, I'm just living my life, man.
That's why you're boho.
All right. Okay. She proved the point, I guess. Okay, so basically, I feel like, you know, always tying it back to make it a cross-generational conversation.
Yes, ma'am.
I would want to ask you first, like, what are your takes on my generation's hyper-focus on the actual overall well-being and mental health and things like that and self-care? And when I say hyper-focus, I mean it, like, not in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. But I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, especially as a millennial. Mm-hmm. Because I asked that question because I also wrote, with millennials, I think that you guys function from a blend of... like the focus on the well-being, but then coming from that, you know, motor kind of, because the generation before you, I feel like that was like a disregard. And I don't think it was like a lot of people were aware of it too, but they had to live kind of to survive. Mm-hmm. So like taking a therapy session or a mental health break, they didn't really have the room for that. Right. So I feel like you guys coming from parents that lived like that, that was kind of like, you know, how you were raised to operate. But then in this new age where that is a focus and that isn't significance and how I feel like kind of the world lives, because a lot of people, you know, have shifted into like the importance of well-being and your mind and making sure you're right. If you're wrong on the inside, you know, you're going to spill it onto other people. So I feel like you guys kind of are a blend of both and are transitioning into... moving your mind from the motor or, you know, focusing on well-being. I was like, what are your takes on that?
That one is one of the things I think we as the older generation definitely should commend you guys for and should thank you guys for. I think it was necessary to ask those questions. Like you being in corporate America, what toll is it taking on you? You doing this job X, Y, and Z. How is it affecting you? Is it something that you have to put up with? Can you step away and seek positions that don't necessarily put you in a negative mental space? Like, we never thought to answer those questions. And then here you guys came along. And what I love about your generation is how unapologetic you guys are. Like, when I was growing up, the idea is you get a job, you keep a job.
Right.
Like, if I switch a job every 1 or 2 years, somebody's going to ask me, what's up? What's going on? You can't work somewhere?
Yeah, that's
a And y'all don't give no dang about quitting a job in 2 minutes.
That's okay. Because that is true.
You guys are like, these conditions are not conducive for me.
They're not for me. Like, they're
when I gave you my PTO, right. I wanted you to know that I was not going to be here. But you did not honor that. So I'm just letting you know, this is my 2 weeks note. In fact... forget 2 weeks notice. This is my 1 day notice.
No, because
see you later, and you will give me my severance package. Thank you very much. Oh, that's your generation.
Oh, she just channeled
Gen Z, I guess.
That is your Gen
Z. Get it, I guess.
Y'all don't give a dang. No, because and y'all really truly believe that you deserve true. Every dang thing. Oh. You need to be, like, no, like, not in a bad way. Like, you deserve everything, regardless of whatever that other person might think. Is like, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
I told you ahead of time I needed my PTO.
Period. And the 2 weeks notice thing is true, too, because, like, I don't think we do that no more. It's like, I'm out of here. And a lot of people also ghost jobs.
It's refreshing. Too, so that part of me, it's like the punching or sucking it to the big guys or, you know, the corporations. That part of me, I love it. Because I'm like, somebody finally had to do it.
Somebody
like,
did it.
And clearly y'all have the kahunas that we ain't got. So I'm very proud of you guys for that. So I have to give that to you guys. I think it was very refreshing. Like, out of nowhere for me, I feel like it just came out of nowhere. And it's like, oh, so this is what we're doing now. Okay, right. we're being honest now.
Right.
We're talking about how we feel.
Right.
We're talking about these people hurting us. Like,
and then, yeah, one of the things that also corporate America noticed to the point where now, you know, you have bosses and like managers asking about your well-being and your state.
Work-life balance is a must now. Yeah. When we were coming up, it was something to consider. Mm-hmm. Because you always had that person who they lived at the job is their life. Their life is the work and that was it. And then now it's like, look, if you want to be an effective leader, you want to have a team that can, you know, do good work. You always have to make sure you're considering that work-life balance and that you're making it a priority. Like this new age kids coming up, new young adults, you want to keep them at a job, better make sure you're offering every single thing they need come to work and be best that they can be. Because they will tell you deuces real quick. They don't care what they offer to you.
Mad quick. No, because that is so true. It is mad quick too. And it's like,
Well, so I respect you guys for that. Well, thank you guys. We so needed it. And I'm happy that you guys are the generation that was bold enough to come out here and be like, what we're not going to do is. And you guys stuck to that. So I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Gen Z.
Well, you're welcome, millennials.
And then I feel like you guys probably lived through the detriment of us, you know, being raised by parents, because some of you guys will be like our siblings. I know for me and you, it's like auntie.
Yeah.
But for some people, it'll be like maybe the eldest sibling is a millennial and maybe the younger sibling is a Gen Z.
Oh, yeah. Different, family.
So they've had the parents that have sacrificed everything. You saw your dad working for a company for 30 years and then they were ready to just let go of him like that. And treated him like he didn't matter. And
then it was an effect on the family.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then he had missed birthdays. He had missed special events just to be able to work for this company and give him their all. And then they're just like, okay, well, Fred, thank you for like your 30 dad. Years.
No, exactly. Yeah, you're right. With our generation growing up with the true passion to not have to live out lives like their parents or their grandparents or
with no meaning, really, when you look at
it.
Yeah. Because you guys want more meaning out of your lives.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Okay, so just an awakening and awareness to the fact that life is more than, you know, system and order and strict routine. Mm-hmm. So when we genuinely do have the room or had the kahunas to... had the kahunas to like step up and not want that for our lives, for the rest of our lives. That's when I say, because I remember, okay, back in when we were talking about faith and I was like, really trying to tie back like the example I said of like collective individualism or something. Mm-hmm. And then you were asking the questions of, you know, how strong and passionate we are about a lot of things are like actually like a non-negotiable that makes like the traits of our generation, like, you know, demanding work-life balance and the overall being of ourselves. I think we do those things together. Like that is the thing, like, you know, we saw across the board, across our families and how it affected it. Everyone in our families and how it affected our parents maybe now that we're older or getting older and seeing how they lived lives like that, to all see that together, note it at the same time, and then like put forth that passion and that fire towards, you know, the outside sources that were causing it to now come together and, you know, demand those things like that. And, you know, come together to not have corporate America ask about, okay, how's life at home affecting your work life and making sure that when you do come to work, it is not, you know, something that is draining you. Mm-hmm. Even though, yes, it is work and, you know, we do work to live, you know, sometimes, but it's like,
yes, we don't work anymore to the detriment of our health.
Of ourselves, yes.
And it was just, I feel like, yeah, some of us felt it. Because even back in the day, like when we first started having the awareness and having conversations as to what it meant to be, you know, women of color in a lot of like these corporate spaces or, right. you know, wherever we might find ourselves. There was a time when it was like very alienating. And I feel like now I can turn on TikTok and somebody's making a funny video about it. Like, I'm a black woman that works in corporate America. Of right. course you're going to ask me how long did I take to do my braids? Like that's refreshing to me yeah. because it's like, we're not so alone anymore. Because I remember going through some other things when I first got my first big girl job. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did she send me? Oh, but. And then it's like you feel stifled.
Right.
Like our generation sometimes felt like we couldn't talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's also a result of your work being your life. Like you couldn't say anything because work was life. And if you did something wrong at work or something at work was messed up, your life was messed up. And it was like you couldn't afford to address something like a microaggression, or you couldn't afford to stand up and say, all right, because I'm burnt out right now. And being burnt out, too, and not giving your best at work before the demand for saying that I'm actually burnt out, the effect of that, it was not good. It was not favorable for you. You could have been replaced. You could have been fired. You could have been like, you couldn't have got that promotion that you actually were working so hard for. That's the reason that you got burnt out. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And changes don't happen if it's not a systemic thing. So if I'm the only one saying no, but everybody else says yes, change does not happen. But what they're finding out now is that everybody is saying the same thing. So even like, you know, you get, for example, I'll just stick to my position. You get new nurses coming in. They will tell you, I want to work these days. I'm already planning my vacation ahead. Don't tell a new nurse they can't go on vacation. They'll be like,
that is true.
I don't really need this job like that. Like, I can go and find somewhere else. But I'm just letting you know, I already booked my trip to Tahiti.
Right.
And it's going to be on June 4th.
Right.
And since this is January, and I've let you know. And I'm so I'm just letting you know.
I don't show up to work.
I will not be here.
And I need those
so
days off.
I need you to plan. Whereas back in the day, like people would literally be like, I don't know, I might go on vacation, but it depends if they approve me at work.
Yeah, you have to get
approved. And it's like, to go on vacation, I can't think of how many things I missed in my kids' life because of work. Wow. And there's so many memories, like when they were coming up, especially my second one when he was younger, I feel like I missed so many because of the type of work I was working at the time. And it was insane because I remember, I'll never forget it. It was a Christmas and I told them, I said, you know, we don't get a lot of calls during Christmas, so I would really like to be let off early. That mother trucker man.
Mother trucker, mother.
knew that I had made that request. Mariama, I sat in that office till like 8 o'clock on Christmas Day. Wow. I'm rushing to get home. And next thing you know, because you know, we always do duck. So then the duck got burnt because I was trying to rush to put everything. I just felt so bad. Like, and I'm just like, now,
and it was like,
can you imagine, like, this past Christmas, I was able to be off.
I was able to,
it was like night and day. So I am so grateful that we are in this place. Like, when I say, oh, you know what? I have a family vacation plan, and somebody's not going to be like, because they want to feel powerful. No. Oh, no, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Like, they can't I'm so grateful. Words cannot even describe how grateful I am.
Oh, wow.
So thank you, Gen Z. You guys are awesome. You guys.
We are. If anything, like, I wonder what we're going to do next, or what the big or the next systemic, whatever, you know, change. And with that, too. Oh, wait, what are you going to say?
I was going to say the only thing I'll have to say is I'm proud of you guys for speaking up. But one thing I feel like you guys have to learn is that life is always about a give and take. So you should always have things in your life that are non-negotiable, but know that sometimes you do have to do some things that you don't want to do.
Right.
And it's all about figuring out what my goal is. What's my end goal? What do I want to get here? And being okay with being uncomfortable. Because I feel like some of you guys, it seems like you don't want any discomfort. You don't want anything.
Everything should be like, how we want
it. Yeah. And not everything in life is going to be how you guys want it. Like, it's just not. Like, when you exist with other human beings in this world, you're not going to have things your way 24/7. That's just my little thing for you guys. Like, figure out what your non-negotiables are in your life. If you're the type of person, I need to go on a vacation every 3 months. So then when I'm having a job, I need a job that can accommodate that. Let that be a non-negotiable. But yeah, maybe once or twice a month, especially if you start getting up into higher management or something, you might have to stay a little bit over. Maybe one weekend a month, you might have to get the phone calls. But then you're very specific about your boundaries. So you can say, okay, this weekend when I'm on call from 9 to 5. Don't call me after 5 o'clock because I ain't going to answer.
Right.
But knowing that, okay, I have to give a little bit of something here to get still where I need to be. Like, it's not always going to be on my terms.
Right.
So that's my little thing for y'all.
Yeah. well, not to that extent to have like a 9-to-5 job like that, like settled. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I kind of like was, because sometimes I feel like we had to accept that things are what they are, like accepting things for what it is, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, working or lack thereof for, you know, our desired outcome, mm-hmm. rather than knowing that it is going to be what it is for right now in the moment, like you're saying, to make sure we stick to a goal. Because I feel like basically, well, this past like holiday, I guess, well, me being 18, you know, I'm not like, you know, all the way settled and set up for life yet. If anything, like life's just starting. Mm-hmm. Well, my family went on a trip for New Year's and, mm-hmm. you know, they were off. They had their time off, but I had to stay back and I was working. Mm-hmm. And it bummed me out that I missed the trip, mm-hmm. and I was frustrated and I was like, how am I going to get these days off? Let me go on this trip. Da, da, da. But I was like, well, Mimi, you're just working, like the give and take, like you're saying, mm-hmm. like you're working for this year, like this new year, you're not going to be with your family on the trip. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. If anything, you're working now to stand up even, you know, better and more tall on your feet, so mm-hmm. that you do have
the option one day
to mm-hmm. be in the space that you put yourself in. That's another mm-hmm. thing too. I want to be able to put myself in that space where I do have the time and the space to live a life that is not solely give and take. But right now, that's what it's going to have to be mm-hmm. to get there.
And when so, you're yeah. staying focused on that goal, knowing that, yeah, mm-hmm. the sacrifices you have to make today to get there. Mm-hmm. And even when you get there, like I'm saying, there'll be other sacrifices you have to make. That. So being comfortable, you guys have to be comfortable with the sacrifices. But I think once you have your limits set, everybody has what their limits are. Once you mm-hmm. have that set, it gives you a better clarity, because then you know, okay, this right here is pushing me past that limit. That boundary that I set, you're pushing it right now. So mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to pull back. Mm. But okay, this place, I can be a little bit lenient and I can bend a little bit, mm-hmm. knowing where you need to bend.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Beautiful.
Yes.
Okay. So now.
Mind. Let's talk about minds.
Minds. Yes. I was going to say, wow. Yes. She read my mind. Basically, I was going to say.
So oh my gosh. Corny Betty.
I love being corny, y'all. Okay. So we both talked about, you know, earlier in this episode, actually, you know, our therapy sessions, mm-hmm. and, you know, things like therapy and everything like that.
Yes.
What are some of your mental checks? Like, even having to learn what a mental check is, I feel like everyone, like, to know to take a step back and actually assess how you feel mentally. How do you assess yourself?
First of all, I wish I had started therapy earlier. Mm. I don't know why it took me until last year. Last year is the first year that I consistently saw a therapist mm-hmm. once a week. Mm. And then the funny thing is, like, I think maybe a month ago, she was like, okay, it's time for us to do our reevaluation. And if you feel like you're ready, we can go to a place like where like we meet every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. Oh, my girl, once
Ooh.
A week, we keeping it.
Ooh.
There's no meeting every 2 weeks.
I actually would like to meet a therapist more than once a week.
It was like, I was like, we're keeping this once a week because do you know the things that go on in my life?
Right.
And when I come and talk to you about it, then I'm not snapping on people that I love. So we're going to keep this appointment once a week. So mm-hmm. looking back now, I'm like, man, I wish I had started therapy earlier. But life happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. Grief led me to therapy. Okay. And it's been like the biggest thing ever. Like the other day we were just talking about like how she felt like I've grown so much. And it's like night and day. And I'm like, I'm just out here living. Like, I don't even realize it that mm-hmm. I've changed. But obviously my loved ones will tell me things are different or, you know, so I know it's happening.
Yeah, there's growth mm-hmm. in, you know, if you're living inside of the body of like the person who's growing, sometimes it's hard to see that, you know, mm-hmm. I've actually changed, I've transformed. And to hear it from your loved one that it was actually for the better mm-hmm. is like a shock. Mm-hmm. It's something that you do take a step back and actually kind of like kickstarts you into actually like saying like, wow, these are the things that I've mm-hmm. done this year, over the past year, or the past couple of months that mm-hmm. I feel
the like, inner work that mm-hmm. nobody gets to see. Work,
right.
And I've just been so grateful. I'm more at ease. Mm. I'm always a faith person. So I think it was good. Like the therapist I have, she's also like a Christian. She's also a believer. So like there's certain things when I'll talk to her about, she'll be like, that's God for you. And just, you know. So I think that's good too. Like when you're seeking a therapist, make mm-hmm. sure you get one that aligns with the things that are important to you.
Right.
Obviously, yeah, my faith is a big part of my life. So it was good that I found somebody that no matter how much therapy they give me, their nuggets, they'll give me reaffirmation. That brings my faith back to the center.
That's a good
thing. That's great.
I always made sure because I've I had a therapist. This is my second one that I am working with. Mm-hmm. But because of the circumstances that I had to move, mm-hmm. I kind of had lost my first one. But I always made sure, to me, it was important that I had a Black woman.
Oh, yes. Therapist. My therapist is Black too.
Yeah. To make sure that she was a Black woman. Because mm-hmm. Bringing my problems to the table or my situations and experience to the table and not having them feel like I'm telling the person a foreign
Now I have to give you a lesson to help you understand. There are just some things that are just unspoken that I just need it when I say it. Mm-hmm. Like when I talk about my parents, you realize Black, and there's a certain level of how I'm going to be talking to my parents. Well, we didn't grow up telling mom, shut up, mom. So, yeah. I need somebody that knows that.
That's not how, my world worked mm-hmm. and functioned. And then to also come to someone who, is a Black woman and will understand those undertones of my life.
And I wanted somebody that was older, too. Really? I didn't realize that at first. The first time, I sought out therapy maybe 3 years before I finally now consistently did it. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first couple times, the people that I found, they were closer to my age and something was just always off. So the good thing about this therapist now is that she's an older Black woman mm-hmm. and a woman of faith, everything just matched. And so mm-hmm. she gave me exactly that which I was needing, because I don't know what it was, but the Black girls that were my age, I just felt like they were telling me things, but I didn't really feel like I could trust it or that it was applicable. That's just for me.
Mm. Was it because of the...
I remember the first one that I had, we had our first meeting, and she's like, read this book. And I'm like, you barely know my life. And then when I saw the title of the book, no, Jane, this ain't it.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's not...
You only heard my story for 2 seconds. That might be the story maybe for other people that you have encountered, but yeah. I am... See, very different probably from other people true. That you've no, I'm not reading that book, John.
Okay, wait, because that's a good point, because for me, okay, so I didn't really seek out older Black women for my therapist. Mm-hmm. I would say around your age mm-hmm. was where I've had
but that's still older than you.
Yeah, it is older. Okay, so that's what you mean, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't have somebody my age. I needed mm-hmm. somebody that was older.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. But then also at the same time, because I think I know what you mean. I feel like with what you just described, it wasn't I didn't want somebody who was it felt like they were doing their job. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
And some therapists tend to do very surface level work.
Surface level book.
So I can always tell those ones and I'm
you sound like a therapist.
Yeah, girl. This is not going to work for me.
Not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then also...
And I've had the African. Oh, Lord, I forgot about that one.
You did.
She was good, but I just felt
Oh, I forgot about that. Wow, that was sweaty.
It all depends on the individual. Make sure that person does not come with any kind of preconceived notions about stuff and that they can truly understand you. So I don't think I'll write it off and say I won't find another African person, mm-hmm. but that trust needs to be there. Everybody mm-hmm. that I've sought out before that's been African, somehow they know somebody that knows me
a web of connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe if I find a therapist that's African, but they live in Miami or something, I don't know. Oh. Maybe that'll work.
Wow. Well, when I worked with my therapist, my first one, I really liked the work I did with her. I feel like it was very, very beneficial to me and it was transformative. But the way, I guess obviously, there's different types of therapy or approaches to therapy mm-hmm. that different therapists specialize in. Mm-hmm. But the way how she worked, she did a mind, body, and because we would talk, it would be a therapy session. But then she would tell me, take breaks and breathe. How are you truly feeling mm-hmm. in this moment? Mm-hmm. And to me, the reason why I sought out therapy was I genuinely was mentally just
anxious all the time.
Anxious. Mm-hmm. And it was so hard to function and focus. Mm-hmm. And it was just I was in my head all of the time, mm-hmm. but I just needed help to get out of it. I was in my head so much because of I was living in the past. My head mm-hmm. was in the past and everything that I was doing in the now was based on how everything in my past, how it had affected mm-hmm. me. So I just needed, the help to
reprogram
move forward.
It, really.
Yeah, to reprogram my mind, basically.
Because now I have self-talks mm-hmm. with myself. Something will happen. And then I'm about to react and I'm like, wait, Tony, are you reacting based off of your trauma and the way that you think this person's coming for you? Mm-hmm. Or does this person just really genuinely, they might have not known. Before I would never have that talk with myself. I'm just going to go off.
Right. She goes straight to the point, jump to conclusion.
Get that bazooka out and take you out.
Bazooka.
But now I'm like, well, maybe you don't need to press the button to detonate the bomb. Maybe they didn't mean for you. Like, don't bomb them yet, Tony. Just, you know, back up a little bit.
Yes.
So,
and just like, yeah, things that opened up. Because I remember the first time I met with her, girl, I thought it was like, it was just so, it was such a transformative experience. Because we would do virtual sessions. But then before I moved, I met with her in person. I wanted to like meet her in person, like at least once. And it was just so different. Because the way how she worked with her therapy, how she approached it, you know, she moved with the approach that there's a lot of trauma trapped in our body. So we did like breathing exercises. And she literally like, oh, it was so, like, I literally felt my memory as a little girl and through the breathing exercises and the acknowledgement of like presence and how we truly feel in our body is like so important. And it was very, it worked for me. And that's another thing too, just because like you hear somebody is not like favorable of a type of therapy
or it won't work for you.
Yeah, like it's like maybe because you know people talk
like
it out.
Else, you got to figure out what works for you. There's so many diets out there that tell you how to lose weight, but you got to know
your
yourself.
Body's not going to be with all of them. It's not going to lose weight.
That one diet that says that you cannot eat fish for 1 year. If you know you eat fish every other day, you have no business doing that diet.
True.
Know thyself, like, and to thyself be true, and you will be just fine.
Well, I guess like.
What's left? Body? Did we talk about body?
Body.
Because you said mind, body, soul.
Mind, body, soul. Soul, body, next, I guess.
Well, body-wise for me, so my goal this year, it's so funny, like today I had a conversation with my spouse. And he was just like, you know, he just had to give me a moment. He's like, you are going a little bit too fast again and you're not taking care of yourself like you used to. So then he put it into perspective for me. He's like, remember, I have been on this end watching you when you your health is not the best and you're struggling with it. So it's my job as being the partner in your life to be like, you need to slow down. You need to make your health a priority again. And for me, a big part of it is rest. I don't know what it is. That's something I have to work through in therapy. But it's this idea like, there was a time in my life I used to tell myself, my father still works very hard. So what excuse do I have? So I felt like I needed to go like 10 times hard because I'm like, well, look at him. He's still working hard. So kind of like going back to what we were talking about, you Gen Zers guy coming and helping us along knowing to have better work-life balance. I definitely used to subscribe to that. Like the only reason I'm not successful is because I'm not working 10 times. If I work just 10 times harder, I'll be sick. And it's like, girl, no, that's you're working 10 times mindset. Harder and you're going to run yourself into the ground. So I've greatly improved, but every now and then I need a check-in, and he kind of gave me that today. So for me, body-wise, I have a Peloton bike, so I'm already exercising on that. So I feel like that one I have down pack. Right now I'm like on a 12-week streak on that one, so I feel like I'm good.
Okay, 12 weeks.
Thank you, me and Alex Poussant, me and Alex. Tunde. Who else? Me and well, sometimes I take Cody's classes. I don't take a lot of his, but yeah, Alex and Tunde, those two for sure.
Give you your 10.
They be getting me together.
Tens. Well, so,
they be getting 10s, 15s all of day.
Period.
All of day. So I feel like that part is good. I'm working on my eating, trying to make healthier choices. Like, you know, we started doing the, what was it? Fruit of the palm instead of us having pasta.
Heart of palm. Yeah.
Instead of us having pasta. I already do cauliflower rice. So trying to do more low carbs because that does help with this hormonal imbalance stuff. So I have that down. But one of the things he brought to me, I was like, damn, he's right. He's like, you don't go outside.
She don't. Wait, because my like, aunt, no, because if she could work, relax, chill, have fun inside,
I'm a homebody.
She would do it. In the comfort of her own home. I feel like it's like, not a bad thing.
I didn't
decorate
my house like this so I can be outside of it.
But like, she also has a beautiful like neighborhood and a beautiful backyard and it's pretty outside. You're going to, the vitamin D3, you're going to feel it. Like your lack of it.
Last time I went to the doctor, she did tell me I was deficient. That's why I started taking the supplement. So he's like, I just want to see you outside more. Like, I want us to go for walks. I want you to just have the sun hit you. He's like, because you would straight up go like 2 weeks and not see the light of day. Because I work as a night shift nurse.
Oh, it's dark.
So when I leave to go to work, it's dark. When it's light outside, I'm sleeping. And then on the days when I'm off, then I'm in my house trying to clean, trying to keep things together, doing homework, taking, you know, all this stuff.
When she does go out, it's for errands for her to come right back.
Right back to the house. Like, it's me going to the grocery store. It's me doing this. And
she's not outside.
Getting my nails done. I'm not like outside in nature. So I definitely want to be out in nature more.
Yeah, because
and then I want to be kinder to myself. I feel like for the most part,
give yourself grace.
Yes. I do it for others and I do it freely. Sometimes when people don't even deserve it, I just need to do it more for myself.
Period.
So that's, I learned that from you. The body part.
Giving yourself grace.
That's a never ending journey. Some days I feel like I got it. Other days I'm like, girl, you could have had this done by now. Ooh, you could have been dead. And it's like,
Because sometimes that voice helps, but not all the time. Exactly. When you did do the things, okay, I done checked out 4 things off the list. Okay, and there was 6.
And I didn't get to the last 2.
I'm saying.
Doesn't mean it's a failure.
I did 4. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like those. So, well, for me, from the beginning of the new year, like on the first day, I kind of just like fell into it again. But I meditate every morning. Sometimes when I wake up, I do have to go right to work and I will spend my like whole day literally like working, you know, until I come home at night. And sometimes I'll be frustrated because it had felt like I wasn't living. Like I'll just wake up and go to work. And I was like, okay, Mimi, so then where can you apply, you know, like actual ease and likeness to your life based on what the time that you do have before you go to work? And even not taking that attitude to work I didn't like that too. Mm-hmm. So I meditate every morning and try to clear my mind as much as possible and, you know, like flow with my thoughts. And I'm practicing mindfulness and presence. So, yes. And I feel like that's a good, like the biggest change I feel like since I moved here too, because I was always in my head and it would be like moments where I would be like, you know, present, and then other moments where I'd be just engulfed in my thoughts and I would just be not here. Mm-hmm. So I've been practicing mindfulness and gratitude and trying to, because I don't know why, I used to blame it on who I was as a person or like my personality, whatever. But I would always be so against the concept of routine because it felt like
a chore.
Mm-hmm. And if I didn't stick to my routine, I would, you know, be hard on myself. Mm-hmm. But I feel like routine is good. Mm-hmm. And if anything, it kind of keeps my mind in order sometimes because, like, you know, waking up, it's not a good example, but if I don't eat breakfast that morning, if I'm like trying to like, okay, I'm going to wake up, meditate, fix my bed, meditate, blah, 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 blah. As long as I do some things out of my routine and not stick to it being as like a method of control, like I don't want to like be the control, like I don't want to control myself and in my life, if anything, but the routine of actually, it's easier for me to go throughout my day if I wake up in the morning and meditate. And it's not nothing I feel like I drag myself out of bed to do, but it's not anything that I feel like, it does feel like a chore. Yeah. So actually settling with the concept and idea of routine. Mm-hmm. And I would stretch in the morning and sometimes do like a quick morning yoga.
Good.
And, you know, because I feel like I have the ability to be a gym rat and the athlete that I feel like is inside of me.
All right, athlete. Better come on.
But I feel like I'm trying to ease into it a little bit.
Please don't ever be like that. If I look over one day and you're putting like pre-workout powder down your throat, my gosh.
Right. And then like I just have to pump throughout the day like, oof, get these muscles in.
And every other word is my macros. Oh my gosh, nope. You need to chill.
My macros
though.
Like no. But I feel like I'm trying to, you know, gain a relationship with honoring
my
body. Yes.
It's your temple. And so not, being gentle when you need to be.
And also like not being hard on myself because I'm not like necessarily in the gym. I do other things to keep myself like, you know, healthy. And you know,
what did they say? They say diet is 80% and exercise is 20. That is so true. So it doesn't matter if you're going to the gym every day and you eat like crap. So
you're still eating.
If
like
you're
crap.
More aware of your body, what your body needs, because sometimes your body will tell you what it needs. We always say, oh, it's cravings. Yes, sometimes it's emotionally tied. But when you really look at it, like you're like, man, I've been wanting some steak, but it might be the way of your body telling you you're low on this nutrient and I need you to.
Oh, no, that is so true.
So.
And also educating ourselves. 2024, let's educate ourselves on our body. Let's do research on our body.
Not the brrrr. Okay.
Well, yes.
What was the name of the rapper that used to do that? Okay, ADD is not ADD is not fun.
And no, his name is Designer, I think. Panda.
Oh, yes. Oh,
wow.
He was fine until he started crying on TV when Migos' brother died or something. It's the way he did it. Like, it's like you're already going to cry. So we already expected you to cry. But why did you have to get on live and cry about it?
Oh, gag. She gagged him.
Clack. You have friends, you have family, you could have called them, like everybody
Instagram
else.
Live.
But you got on live online to your followers, and that's why I ain't gonna do music no more. And then, you know, people have no chill.
Sorry.
They were like, we already thought you didn't do music no more.
Nobody was checking for a new designer single. Let alone album.
So he walked right into that. Well, I quit. They're like, we thought you had quit.
Dang, bro.
We don't even know who you are, sir. Do you know who you are?
Wow.
Yeah. So.
True. Okay, because we just that was funny.
Yeah, people online are just savage,
even
man.
Social media.
I'm like, why would you do that to yourself?
Because
he was on their crap. This is the stuff I'm talking about, man. You should have been on the phone with your friends and your family. That
right,
was not meant for
somebody,
life.
Somebody like, yeah, personal. Come
that
on.
You trust. Because I'm not coming at him for crying. He is fine. It's the means that he went about doing all of that.
Why you have to do it that way?
On live.
Yeah, bro. But yeah, with social media too, like, because you, also another thing I was like discovering, like you can have a, social media can be like sometimes okay. As long as you're not literally.
You should be able to not take yourself too seriously, for one.
Yeah, that's one.
Like now we're putting ourselves out there. There'll be people that listen to us that want to make fun of us. And I'm okay with it. Like,
bro, because who are
you? That's what you want to do?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're going to do. So I'm not going to be here taking myself too seriously. Like, so, but some of these people, I feel like they get into trouble because it's like you want everybody to worship you. Everything you say is so great.
It's so amazing.
Everything you is one.
God complex.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And the minute somebody has a criticism for you, it's like.
Then it's like everything is tumbled down.
Oh my gosh, like relax.
You can't take it.
You take yourself that seriously? Your neck must be tight. Your back must be tight. Everywhere must be tight.
It's Nikki.
Not
Nikki.
The bloop, bloop. Okay.
Nikki,
no, that's Cardi
that.
B.
No, really? It's with Nikki.
Nikki does bro.
Yes, you watch Nikki's live, she'd be like, oop. Oh, cool, my gosh. I love watching.
I love Nikki's voice. Accent. I ain't going to lie.
Me too.
But that's because I like the New York.
Calm down. Calm down.
I like the New York accent.
Young man, you're yelling.
She says young man?
Yeah, she did a stream with Kai Cenat. And she was like, young man, you're yelling.
Oh my God, that's funny.
It's a young man. He was yelling too. Like,
I can just picture it too.
Like, Nikki, hey. Young man, you're yelling.
Onika, okay.
Onika Tanya.
Wait, well, her name is really Tanya?
Yeah, Onika Tanya Mirage.
Oh.
Cute, right?
Yeah. Tanya. Tanya. Okay. She does look like a Tanya. I'll take that.
Low key she do.
Mm-hmm. She does.
Okay, Tanya. Period. Anything else you want to dabble in?
No.
Mind,
I think
body,
we covered
soul,
it.
Everybody.
Well, we already covered soul when we talk about faith. So I think we're good there. Mm. But mind, body, everything. So pretty much be in alignment and then learn from the generation before you and learn from the generation younger than you sometimes. About how to balance the two, because there are some things we can learn from each other.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the word alignment. That's the word of the
day. Alignment is very important.
Alignment.
Align yourself with the right people.
Hey.
And align yourself with the right people at the right time.
Yay.
Double alignment.
Double
are you
alignment.
Double aligned in your
are
life?
You double aligning?
If you are not, I'll pray for you to have discernment for double alignment. Hey!
Whoa.
You didn't see that coming, did you?
No, I did not, actually.
Thank you. Thank
you. I didn't know you were going.
I'm going to, this year, 2024, I'm going to be giving you gems.
Mm.
You will not see them coming.
Mm.
I will just be in the moment and speak.
Oof.
And when I speak, you would have known I have spoken.
That was my round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Good
you.
Gosh.
Okay.
She's a woman of words.
I'm telling you.
What?
You're not ready for it.
I will be anticipating all your moments. Of...
My moments of words,
yes.
And wisdom.
And wisdom,
yes. Yes, yes, yes. They will be coming through.
Period.
Thank you, guys.
No, we have to do our song.
Oh, look at me.
Look at her.
Hey, you know I like my French boys. So I had to go back to my French boys because I've not listened to my French boys in a while. There was a time all I listened to seemed like was like French African artists.
Really?
So there's this song by Daju and Tay-Sie. I love Tay-Sie.
She just like poked my head.
I just like slapped her in the face.
Tay-Sie, she loves you.
I think
so
I love Tay-Sie.
Chai.
But Daju and Tay-Sie, I love you.
Oh my gosh, wait, because I stole that from you.
Oh, you did?
She was like Shazamming it in the car one day, and I'm like, well, let me. I Shazammed it too on the side without her knowing, because I was like, no, because that song is also really good.
Yes, it is so good.
It's
I
really
love
good.
It. I love it. So I had to come on here and give my African French boys some love. Yes.
Period.
We're covering everywhere. We went to Nigeria, then we went to South Africa. Well,
South
I went to South Africa for a little bit.
Dang, okay, you can say we. You can say we.
Okay,
don't say
we. Since it's a collaborative.
Yeah,
since it's a collaborative.
Because I love me some Mama Piano.
But you know what? One thing I was thinking, because I love gospel music too. I think we should do a second playlist that has like just like our maybe like gospel and Christian songs on there.
That'd be good. I have a playlist of gospel music.
So we'll put a second one together because, yeah, let me tell you, some Tasha Cobb songs have been there in my darkest times, okay?
Period.
Let me tell you, some Maverick City music has ministered to me. And what we're now going to do in 2024 is be okay with people nominating people that have no business being nominated for gospel awards and giving them awards, okay? I need my gospel artists to stand up for themselves. I need them to go out there and call them out. So I don't care how much you guys like a Kanye West, but to nominate him for best gospel artist, are you guys kidding me? What the heck is going on? Are you like this past
Wait,
year?
She's not lying.
You know how much good music came out? There are even like African gospel artists now coming to the scene. And a Kanye West is who we're going to nominate for an award? They need to stop playing in people's faces over there.
For real.
And I was so mad because I was like, where are all the gospel artists? I need some of them to be angry. Like, sometimes we know we are Christians, but we need to let these people know, stop playing with us.
Oh.
Stop playing with us. Don't play with us.
Period.
So I need y'all to take y'all and your Kanye West award and take it somewhere else.
Throw it in the bin.
In the bin. Throw in the rubbish.
In rubbish. It was rubbish.
Throw it in the rubbish. Like, no.
Yes.
If somebody's good, I would say they're good. But I feel like there were other music that came out this year that deserved that nomination. And I know it's all like a game of popularity contest or whatever it is.
And
but I'm like,
Kanye West, okay.
Are you guys kidding me? That's the best we could come up with.
Did he even make more gospel music?
I don't even know where it came from. I was
the
like,
King Lord praise.
Make it make sense, Lord. Mm-mm. So,
well, yes.
That's my little take there.
My song of the week or of the episode is Coffee.
Oh.
Parentheses, don't read signs, parentheses. Odeel. Oh, Mr. Odeel, I like him.
That's the one she was playing before the show.
I had lobby music
Before we started filming.
Coffee.
I haven't heard
Odeel.
It, so when I add it on there, I'll take a listen.
Well, yes.
Who the heck? Odeel, it wants to sound like Odell Beckham. I said, when did he start making music?
No, please. Oh my gosh, wait, we were having this conversation the other day, but. Okay, so we were having like a conversation about, this was a while ago, but how like, is listening to an audiobook really reading it? I was like, all right,
yes,
bro.
It is.
No, because, okay, so.
Okay, this will be the poll question for this episode.
Oh, period. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we have poll questions that are attached to our Spotify episodes. So if you keep scrolling down, you'll see the poll. You can vote for whatever it is. And then we come back on the later episodes and share what the results were.
Okay, so I have a book. It's called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. I really recommend it. Mm-hmm. I really recommend it.
Okay. Download the audiobook.
No, you don't even have to download it because it's on Spotify. Oh. Right? And I was like, I really love this book. But the reason why I never finished it because I just like don't have the time to like sit down and read. So I was working, right? And I was like, oh, bro, like I really wish, I don't know. I was really craving reading that book because it's just, I just love the book so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, I don't know how or why, but I typed it into Spotify because I saw that he had, when I searched up the book on Google, I saw that it was like an Audible purchase that you can make. I was like, dang, I'm going to have to download this because like, I can just have this be read to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
I searched it up on Spotify. It's right there on Spotify for free. I'm listening to it as I'm working. Mm-hmm. I was like.
And you finished that book, didn't you?
Wait. Oh, well, no, I'm almost done.
See?
But I was like, this revelation that I just had, I was like, what do y'all
you
mean?
You know how many books I read? Exactly.
Literally, because yes, I am reading the book. Don't play with me.
Mm-hmm.
Do not play. Because when I go to
my husband is somebody that does not believe in that. Yeah, so when I'll be like, I'm reading this book right now. He's like,
yeah,
you are.
Spark the conversation.
You are. You mean you're listening to the book?
But. Well, yes, I am.
Yes, I consider it reading. Somebody's reading it out loud to me because I am such a busy person that the only time I have to read is on my way to work and on my way home. So those are 2 hours out of my day.
Literally. I only have time to read when I'm at home.
That's my audiobooks.
I'll be working.
Exactly.
So, yes, I am reading my book.
Exactly.
Even if it is being played to me in my ears.
So you guys need to vote and let us know if you're the bougie ones that are like, if I don't crack a book open, I don't consider it reading.
I'm turning the pages.
I don't watch. If I can smell the paper.
Like, what are you talking about? Yes, that's nice too.
I can smell the paper. It's not real reading.
Because you're also acting like I'm not actually going to sit down and read a book either.
Yeah, I know how to read.
I know how to.
This is not the point here. The point is I want to gain some more knowledge. And the only way I'm going to gain it is by listening to these books on my way to and fro.
Well, yes.
Can you see? I just said to and fro. So clearly I know how to read. Hello.
Clearly she got like 100 in English and literature. So don't
Thank
play
you.
With her.
Don't play with me. Don't play
well, yes. Okay, so that was just my little bit I had to
yes,
before we go.
And I concur. I agree.
Concur. And I suggest and recommend The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle to everybody.
The Power of Now. Okay. Of Now. I'll add it to my list because I downloaded Kerry Washington's
book. Oh, that's my girl.
So that's my next one. I'm trying to make it through Spare. Oh my gosh. That book is so long.
What is it?
The Spare by Prince Harry. Like right now, like I'm in the part of the book where all he's talking about is the war. And I'm like, dude, get to the good part. Tell me when your family had talked about the baby being black. That's what I need. That's what I came here for.
Our world now where we could give a crap about the war, but we want
No, we do care. But I feel like it's too long of the book. Like, I'm like, have we been at this war for like the last 5, 7, 8, 20 chapters?
He has. Like,
ooh, Lord. So. Wow. Pray for me. I think I'm 5 hours away from finishing that one. Once I'm done with that one, then I'm reading Kerry Washington's book next.
Is Thicker Than Water. Or what is it?
Mm-hmm. It's a memoir.
Oh, cute. I like her. Mm-hmm.
I love her so. We need to get out of here.
Yeah, we do. I'm about to say.
Bye, guys. This episode is definitely going to be longer than the most, but look at everything we gave to you.
No, mind, body,
soul. Look at the encompassing wholeness. Look at what we led to. Look at where you are.
Look at the complexity.
Look at your present and look at where you came from. Ooh. You are going somewhere.
Period.
Exactly.
Wow. She just put past, present, and future.
I did it. And I'll do it again.
She really will. She'll give it to y'all next episode. Thank you guys Bye. For listening.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Over.
You just finished another episode of Banta with Tony and Mimi. We just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. Have a blessed one.